Welcome, welcome, and good morning. You know how sticky I am about starting on time. This is episode 46 of Coffee with the Coder. Thank you for being here today, and we just had a wonderful, exciting pre-call. And Paula, are you ready? Can we just jump right in?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Okay. So this first question is anonymous, and it comes from an inpatient rehab. The question is, are conditions considered comorbidities and not complications on the IRFPI if they were diagnosed by the fourth day? I can't seem to find any guidelines on this, and I think it's a miscommunication.
Okay, so yeah, that's a really great question, because we kind of get confused, I think, in the IRF world. We have, like, you know, by the fourth day to determine, you know, why the patient is there and set their impairment group and their etiologic diagnosis, so the reason for their admission, that underlying reason that is causing the impairment, if you will. But that rule is separate and apart from the rule that says what you consider complications versus comorbid conditions. The way that I can best describe to you what to determine as a comorbidity versus a complication is a comorbidity exists at the time of admission, and a complication happens or is diagnosed after admission. Now, there's a caveat to that. So I would, if you're not a coder, I would say get with your coders and discuss those rules for how to assign the present on admission indicators. So that's the way that I would go about determining if it was a complication or comorbidity. The present on admission indicator guidelines say that if there were symptoms present at admission that were diagnosed during the admission, then we go ahead and report that condition as present at the time of admission. So it would be the same way with comorbidities versus complications on the IRFPI. For example, let's say a patient came in with, you know, burning when they're urinating, or you know, they had frequency of urination, or, you know, just some different symptoms related to that. And that was documented on admission. But then by day 4 or 5 or 3, it doesn't matter what day, later they found that, oh, by the way, this patient had a UTI. And that means, because the symptomatology was there at admission, it existed at admission. So that would be a comorbidity versus a complication, versus the situation where the patient comes in and there's no symptomatology, and say day 2 even, they start experiencing problems, and then they do tests or the symptomatology on day 2, then that would be a complication because it wasn't present at the time of admission. So it's not the same rules as getting my etiologic and my impairment group. It's based solely on when the condition was recognized and when the symptomatology showed up. So that's kind of how that goes. Pam?
Thank you. I guess that's just one more reason why coders like to know all the pathophysiology behind stuff. So you have a little bit better clue about some of that stuff.
Absolutely, awesome. Absolutely.
All right, well, this is also an inpatient rehab question, but we do have a non-inpatient rehab question coming up, and it's also anonymous. So if the patient leaves the inpatient rehab AMA, so that's what, against medical advice?
Yes.
What disposition is recorded on the UB? Would you put 1 for home or 7 AMA?
Okay, yeah, that basically on the UB04, the answer would be AMA 7. So the UB04 uses the National Uniform Billing Committee listing of discharge disposition codes. You can get the information from your billing department, or if you have a billing company, you can ask them for the list of discharge disposition codes, or you can purchase a copy of that billing manual from the National Uniform Billing Committee at nubc.org. Now, I do know you can get some hints to this, or even get some of the information. It's just not complete information on CMS. However, CMS has been very clear in the last few years. They put up a list of discharge dispositions, and then they gave some information about it, and then they rescinded that, because the NUBC, in order to have that information, you have to purchase it from the NUBC. So That would be for the UB04, the discharge disposition would be AMA 7, which is number 7.
Thank you. Okay, so now this one is about injections and infusions, so that's like most everybody, right? This question came in through our Coffee with Decoder question submission page, and we kind of went back and forth a few times, so I'm going to start with the beginning, and then you can tell me whatever other parts, or you can take all the other parts. So here's the scenario. I've got a patient on 8:30 that comes in to the ER, is given an IV push. Then on 8:31, they're still in the same visit. They receive an IV piggyback and then an IV push of another drug. What are the codes? And then there's a clarification. She says, would it be 96374 for the 30th and 96365 and 96375 on the 31st? And it says, at 9:34 to 9:36 p.m., on 8:30, the patient received the drugs by IV push. Then at 1 a.m. until 1:20 a.m., on 8:31, the patient had an IV piggyback with a different drug. And also at 1:22 a.m. on that same day, they received a different drug as an IV push. All these were used at one injection site. And then There's another clarification. Should I read that part too?
Actually, let me just go into it because it's kind of the same thing back and forth and this was actually from Chris, and Chris and I, he purchased a book, one of the injection and infusion books when we did the last Coffee with Decoder flash sale, and so he got that book, and then he said, I still have this question. And so we went back and forth asking, you know, he would ask the question, I would go, okay, can you clarify that a little bit more? And so he would send the question worded a little bit differently. And I'm sorry, Chris could be a female or a male, so it could be a male or a female. But at any rate, we talked about in our emails is I sent a copy of the CPT assistant articles specifically related to the injection infusion codes. They are per-day codes with some caveats. And the caveat is if you start something prior to midnight, but then you complete it after midnight, you don't bill it as a new thing after midnight. It's all considered where the date it started. So the other piece of that is there was some, in my mind, when I hear that question and I hear, okay, the patient got an IV push on 8:30, whatever med, and then on 8:31, they got an IV piggyback, and they gave the time frames from like 9:30. It was like 20 minutes. It was like 1 to 1:20, and then got another push that same morning. That was the question to me. Then I initially go, okay, so what do you consider to be an IV piggyback? Because that can change your code choice. An IV piggyback could be a fluid running in with a med hung with it, and that is an infusion, okay, because that fluid that is used to get the medication in is considered bundled. You're not going to report the fluid as a hydration and the med as an infusion, okay, versus the situation where you could have a fluid running in, and then you can have a med hung in that fluid, and that's considered an infusion, just like we said. Then you have a second med hung in at the same time, piggybacked on. So you really have to understand what is the term of piggyback, because that's going to be a different coding scenario than one med hung at the time. So you've got to understand what the nurses or the person documenting means by piggyback. Is it fluid with the med, or is it fluid with the med and the med? Okay, because that's going to make a difference in whether you have, and you might see things in the documentation that say, you know, double lumen catheter, triple lumen catheter. That's going to tell you whether there's two or three meds. But we really want the documentation to be very clear. And Chris was very clear to say, all through the same access site. So on the first day, on 8:31, we had an IV push. That would be, on 8:30, that would be 96374 for the initial IV push. And then on 8:31, we had a infusion. And the infusion, actually, the reason I'm saying it was an infusion, it lasted from 1 to 1:20, It was over 15 minutes, so it wouldn't be another push. It would be an infusion, because it went over 15 minutes. And it was at 1 o'clock in the morning, so we're in a new day. So for that case, we're going to start with a new initial. Now, this is all, and I forgot to say that at the beginning, this is for a facility. Chris was coding for an ER facility, not the physician office coding. So the initial, we start over with our hierarchy. The initial infusion would be reported on 831, which is 96365. And that is if the medication was hung with the fluid alone, and we're not talking about two different bags of medication hung on one fluid, right? And then following on that same calendar day on 831, I think you said around 1:30 in the morning after that. So they did the infusion of the med, and then a new med, they came in and did another IV push. Then you're going to report the subsequent IV push, because we can only have one initial service per day per access site. So, and our initial service was the infusion, so then we report the subsequent service as the IV push, which would be 96375 on the CPT side. So, and again, this is all facility coding. So I hope that makes sense, that we broke that down a little bit for you to let you know how that works on the injection and infusion coding. And, you know, please send your questions if you have more about that, because I know it gets a little bit confusing in that respect. Pam?
Thank you. That's very clear for me. And maybe hopefully for everyone else who's listening, but if your scenario is a little bit different, then you're welcome to submit that as another question, and we'd be happy to address it on a future episode. And that is all our time, so we've got to give away a mug. And I don't even have to stir it up, because we had two anonymous questions and one non-anonymous question. So woo-hoo, anyone whose non-anonymous question is used during an episode is in the running for today's mugging. And so we have one contestant today. The winner is Chris. Thank you, Chris, for that question. And we'll be reaching out to you. Congratulations, so that you will be getting your Coffee with Dakota official mug. We'd love to have your mug shot. And that's what Paula was alluding to before. To join the Insiders program, is we'll need your mug shot. That's a picture of you with the mug, or you with an AQIQ branded something. And of course, there's ways if you prefer not to have your face in there, as Paula mentioned. So we're just so excited that we got to share this with you this morning, episode 46. The next episode, number 47, will be on the 24th of September at 10:10. We hope you can join in a few minutes early for the pre-call. And Paula?
And Pam, yeah, I just wanted to say, because the folks who were not on the pre-call didn't hear this, so you really want to join the Coffee with Dakota Insiders page. So, you know, go out there and send Christine a photo as like a mugshot with something AQIQ branded or Coffee with Dakota branded, and answer those questions on the Facebook page and join us, because we are going to have some cool specials coming out just for insiders.
Thank you so much.